Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Glad that you're here. What a difference a week makes as far as the weather. Last Sunday it was so cold, and this morning you have a beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for that. Looking at spring, Easter is just around the corner. We're going to be starting our Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American Missions next Sunday. Easter is just about a little over a month away. And so we'll be looking at that. Keep that in mind. Not a whole lot of announcements. One very important announcement for those of you who are used to coming on Sunday night, we will not meet tonight. I'm not going to be able to be here tonight, and so we've been decided we just not meet tonight. We'll try to pick up next Sunday night. So don't come tonight. The doors will be locked. Nobody will be here. But we will be here on Wednesday night, as usual. And the Wednesday night group is really continuing well all the way across all of the ages. And so continue to pray for that ministry on Wednesday night. Vans go and bring in people and take them home. And teachers are here waiting for them and have their hands full, but it is a really good ministry that's going on Wednesday night. Thank you for that. Any other announcements that need to be made? Yeah.
We're going to be starting looking at some Easter music, and so maybe next Sunday evening we'll announce it next Sunday morning. The choir will start doing some practice.
Okay. I was wondering about that. Yeah. Easter music, not necessarily an Easter program, but some Easter music,
Easter music
for Sunday morning.
Specials.
Good, good.
Invite other people to the choir.
Yeah, everybody, good time for you to come and sing with us over the Easter season at least. Any others? All right, let me share a prayer request. Do continue to pray for Bobby Barnes. She is under hospice care at the present time in Jackson. In the vicinity of her daughter that lives there. Pray for Charlie Odom, Bill and Louise Barrett. Pray for them. Pray for their daughter-in-law, Nancy Barrett. Pray for her under cancer treatments. And I'm not sure about any others. I know we have some that we have been praying for that are doing better, and we praise the Lord for that. Dan and Barbara O'Neill are not here. They're visiting their son up in Arkansas. They'll be coming back either tomorrow or the next day, so pray for their travel safety. Any other requests unspoken? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for an open door that you always have for us to bring our prayers to you. You always hear them, you acknowledge them, and answer them according to your will, your plan, in your time, and help us always to remember that. Sometimes if we do not receive a prompt answer to our prayers and concerns, we think maybe you're not being faithful, but you always are. And Lord, we know that and we profess that this morning. We bring all of these. We pray especially today for Bobby, for Charlie Odom. Pray for Bill and Louise Barrett and their daughter-in-law Nancy and many others unspoken and listed on our printed prayer list. We pray for our missionaries. Pray for our country, our president, and all the lawmakers, many decisions that are being made. Heavenly Father, direct them, cause them to make the right decisions according to your will, according to your plan. Be with us now during this time. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake we ask. Amen. Again, this morning we'll be passing the offering plate, or we'll be coming around with the offering plate, but do not ask that you do not pass it. The ushers will pass it in front of you, making it go first through the center aisle and back down the side aisles. And we'll change things up a little bit as we go along. Brother John, come start us off with a call to worship, if you will.
Yes, 618 in his presence. We're all going to sing this. Then if you would stand and then remain standing for the prayer.
In his presence.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in your presence we come. We thank you for your presence this morning. We commit our time to you, to worship you, because you are worthy. You are God. God Almighty, the controller, the creator of everything. We belong to you. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we belong to you through the Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We give to you this time. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.
John? I'll be seated. And then turn to hymn 510. 510, Heaven Came Down. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you. 356, Redeemed. This is going to be our offertory hymn. So I'll ask you to join me in standing for the hymn and the offertory prayer. And Brandy Bird will play the offertory.
Time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray right now as we take up this offering, Lord, that it would be used for the furtherance of your kingdom and to help support this local body and its ministries, Father. We ask that you bless this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, choir. And Gabby, thank you for that solo part. And thank you, Brandy, for the beautiful offertory again this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 26, another one of the Psalms. Preaching the Psalms is short-lived. Easter is just around the corner, and we will be leaving from the Psalms. Some of you may be saying, boy, it's about time. I kind of am of that mindset myself now. Although I've received a blessing from them, they continue to speak so relevantly. It just amazes me. Of all my days, I have never realized how relevant the Psalms are to today. And the things that we face so much the same as what was faced back then in King David's day. Psalm 26, if you will follow in your Bibles as I read the text, only 12 verses, so we'll read the whole thing this morning. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of the evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise the Lord. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I commit this message to you. I ask God that you would help me to say what you'd want me to say. But beyond that, by your Holy Spirit, give us understanding of the text and where it applies to us today. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a day today where godliness and Christianity is under attack, it's under assault. If we believe in the Word of God and we live according to the teachings of God's Word, we are made out to be bad people. We are the problem. So says the world around us. We are being narrow-minded, intolerant, bigots, self-righteous, phobics of all different kinds. That's what is said about us if we hold to the teachings of God's Word and live accordingly. We find ourselves under slanderous attacks because of our beliefs. Slander is defined as saying or spreading, or spreading and saying false statements harmful to our character and reputation. This is a major problem of our day. Yes, it always has been, but today it is classic everywhere we turn, it seems as though. So it is appropriate for us to pray this prayer. The prayer of a godly man, I'm calling it, as illustrated in Psalm 26. This prayer, this psalm, makes three requests. It asks for vindication, for examination, and redemption. We'll take a look at all three of those here in just a moment. But first, let's realize the context of Psalm 26. The psalm was written by King David, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. When David was under verbal assault and character assassination by those seeking to destroy him and claim the throne, the kingdom, for themselves. In particular, that uprising was led by his son Absalom. We find that all recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and 15. You can go there and find that. The opposition, by the way, was successful. David ran for his life. Absalom claimed the throne. Those who opposed him had their way for a time, but eventually they were defeated. It's important for us to know and understand that and claim that, because right always wins in the end. It may not seem that way. We may lose battles here and there. It seems as though we're losing for good, but never will it wind up that way in the end. And we find that again and again. Prime example again is the crucifixion and death and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, but yet ending victoriously by the open grave, which we celebrate at Easter time, and salvation of the world beyond the Jewish race, but to everyone of every tribe and every language in all of the world, culminating one day in glory together with one another and together with our Lord. So again, it's amazing as read this psalm and study it, how these words written thousands of years ago are so relevant today. I don't look ahead at the psalm. I have no idea what the next psalm says, what it holds. I'll look at it this evening probably. Usually on Sunday night, after church Sunday night, I'll read over that psalm. And when I first read Psalm 26, I said, good gracious, I may have to do something else. I just don't see where this goes. And then Monday morning, as I began to look at it and study it, it began to open up to me and realized how relevant this is for us today. As I said, we Christian people in the church are the punching bag of our society today, and it is probably going to get worse before it gets any better. I'm afraid we're in for dark days, and I hate to be proclaiming discouragement here, but that's what I see as well as what others see. And so this prayer is very relevant for us today. And with the present situation, it'd be good for us to pray this prayer from time to time for us personally, as well as the Christian community, as well as the church. The prayer begins by asking for vindication. Verse 1, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord. Vindicate, that's a word we don't see a whole lot of. But I find that vindicate is defined as to clear from criticism or suspicion, to defend one's character and reputation. That is to be vindicated. This request is made because we are confident that we have lived a blameless life and that we are trusting in the Lord. Look there at that verse. I have led a blameless life. We are trusting in the Lord, a godly life. This is not a statement of self-righteousness, but an honest testimony of our life as best as we know it. That's what King David was saying here as he approached his Heavenly Father in this prayer. David had not lived a perfect life. He had fallen into sin numerous times, but when he found out about it, he came before his God in repentance and asked for forgiveness, and it was given to him, and he marched on in his life, living a blameless life as best he could, as best he knew it. And that's what he is proclaiming here. Vindicate me, O Lord. I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. I'm trusting in you, Lord. And so he's asking for vindication. All kind of false accusations are being leveled at him. Lies of all kinds. And they are being believed by many, by the majority in his day. So we can boldly make this request because in doing so, we are also asking or also defending the character and the reputation of our Lord. Because as Christians and as the church, as the body of Christ, our Lord lives within us. And to slander our behavior, if godly that is, but to slander our behavior is to slander the Lord. And so it's good for us to pray and to ask for vindication, because not only for us, but in the name of the Lord, for your sake, O Lord, and much of the Psalms we have seen is written, for the sake of your name, O Lord, let this be. And that is the same idea here. Vindicate me not only for my personal respect and dignity, but for the name of the Lord who dwells in me, who I serve. And so it's good for us to ask for vindication. Prayer not only asks for vindication, it also asks for examination. And this is very necessary for us all if we profess to be Christians, if we profess to be representing our Lord. And if we profess to do so, we are representing the character of our Lord, and it's extremely important that we're right and not wrong. That is, that we're walking continually in the truth. Look at verse 2 and 3. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. So David here, the psalmist, is asking the Lord to examine him. Not only examine him, but test him and try him. That's good for us. Ask the Lord to put us to the test. So far as I know, I'm on the right track in life. I have truly led a blameless life. I'm living a lame, blameless life. I'm trusting in the Lord. But then, Lord, I might be wrong. Test me and prove me. Examine me and see if that is true or not. And it's important that that is true, because we are indeed representing the character of our Lord as we walk our walk in life. We must know what God's Word teaches us and approach it daily as we would approach a mirror. Oh my, as Christian people, how we fall down on that. How many days go by without us looking at one single verse in God's Word in the Bible? Daily we need to approach it so that we will know what it says, so we will know that we are right and not wrong. And even then, we must ask the Lord to test us, know our heart. Approach it as we approach a mirror in the morning. I don't know about you, but in the morning when I get up, it's not too long. Husbands and wives, we have to put up with one another until that comes to that point when we go to the bathroom and look at a mirror and start to comb our hair and do whatever. Ladies put a neat little makeup here and makeup there. I don't know, some of you guys may do makeup too. I don't know, but I know one thing. I sure can improve my looks just by washing my hair and combing it compared to what it looks like when I first get up. So it is with approaching God's Word. It's always we need to approach it. What does it have to say to me? What blemish is there in my life that I can change, that I can correct, that I can clean up? And for us to always be in the right and not in the wrong, we must know what God's Word teaches and approach it daily as we would approach a mirror in the morning. What does it say to me? And be willing to make corrections where corrections are due. Several areas are presented here in the following verses, verse 4 through 8. And then remember, we're talking about examination, asking God to examine us, test us, prove us. Then beginning in verse 4, there are several areas that are mentioned, and this is not an exhausted list, but several very important ones are brought out. The first of those, in verse 4 and 5, test me and try me, examine my heart and mind to see if we are rejecting participation with evildoers and with the wicked. Look at verse 4 and 5. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. Now, that is, we're not about to compromise our faith by participating with evil and with evildoers and the ungodly. Numerous words, several words are used here that we're not used to using. The first of those there in verse 4, I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I don't use consort very often, but it means to keep company with or to be in harmony or agreement with. And so we ought to be able to say, I do not keep company with and I am not in harmony or agreement with, and in this case, the hypocrites. Hypocrite is defined as a play actor wearing a mask to cover up their evil character. The evildoers, the deceitful men, is being talked about in verse 4. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. Are those who are scheming evil plots and taking and giving of bribes, which we'll see a little further in the text, but are covering it up with a mask to be presenting themselves as good. Got all too common that situation today as well. So I don't consort, I don't agree, or I'm not in harmony with that at all. With the hypocrites, those who are evil but putting on a front that they are good. And then in verse 5, the word abhor is used. That's another word. I don't remember seeing that anywhere. I abhor the assembly of the evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. Abhor is defined to literally shrink from fear, disgust, and hatred. And in this case, the assembly of evildoers. I shrink with fear at the idea of meeting in the assembly with evildoers. I abhor that idea. It's disgusting to me. I hate it. And the psalmist is saying in his prayer, examine me. These are some things that I live by. These are some things that that I believe. These are some things that I practice. I don't sit with deceitful men. I don't consort with the hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers, and I refuse to sit with the wicked. It goes on then. Another thing is presented in verse 6 and 7. Test me, try me, examine me, O Lord, my heart and my mind. See if I am proclaiming and telling of all the wonderful deeds of the Lord. Are we faithful in proclaiming and telling ourselves, but especially others, but especially ourselves, the good deeds of the Lord? You know, we can get weighted down and discouraged and depressed with the things that we face, with what we see around us, but we need to always come back and say, praise the Lord, how faithful He is. Praise the Lord for all of the good deeds that He does. And in the middle of everything else, no matter how evil or wicked or bad these things might be, how we're affected by some of these things, we always can come back and praise the Lord for who He is. And this is not the end for us. What we see around us is not our Lord and not a part of our citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. We're in a different country with Him, regardless of where ours stands and where it's going. But examine us. Examine my heart and my mind, Lord, to see if I am proclaiming and telling of all the wonderful deeds of the Lord. Let's read verse 6 and 7 again. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud the praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Praise the Lord. Definitely we would do well with giving more praise to the Lord than criticisms of what is going on around us. Definitely we would be better accepted by the opposition if somehow we could convince them of the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of following His word and His will and His teaching, as opposed to where they're wanting to go. And so, in asking God to examine us, that is an area of examination that is very applicable and relevant for us today. It was for David. His whole world was falling in around him. He's going to lose the kingdom. Evildoers were going into the tabernacle and worshiping like as if they were godly people, and they were far from it. But yet he is saying, I am proclaiming aloud your praises and telling of your wonderful works. Where? I go to your altar, O Lord, and do that. In my worship, I do that. And then in verse 8, there's another idea that's presented so far as examination. Examine my heart and my mind to see if I love the house of the Lord where His glory dwells. Verse 8. David says, I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Examine my heart and my mind, Lord. Test me and try me, Lord. Do I really love the house where you live and the place where your glory dwells? Do we? The church is identified as a worship place. As I was growing up, the church building was always called God's house. That is not exactly true. God, by His Holy Spirit, lives in the lives, in the person, in the lives of people, of individuals. But yet, the church building and the church, as the body of Christ, the church, I'm talking about this group in the church, is the body of Christ, is the place where the Lord comes and meets with us. It's a holy place. It's a holy special time that we come and we ask our Lord to come and lead us in worshiping Him. And let there be no mistake, the only reason we come is to worship Him. And in doing so, we're changed. We are rejuvenated. We're reminded of His will, of His word. But it is all for the purpose of Him and for the glorification of Him. And David here, as he is asking for examination by the Lord, he is asking or proclaiming the fact that he loves the house, O Lord, where you live, the place where your glory dwells. If everything else in the kingdom of Israel in David's day were things to be hated by David, by a godly man, there was one thing that he loved, and that was that tabernacle where he could come and meet God, where God dwelt, and where he could come and worship God, and where God's presence was and His glory was presented. Others could come there and not find the same glory that David could find because their hearts were not right. But yet those whose hearts were right, and what he is saying is, God, my heart is right now at best. I know it, and I love to come to your house where your glory is made known. So not only vindication is included in this prayer, but examination. And examination can be a bit bitter. when we're asking the Lord to examine ourselves. Pick up on that in a little bit. Let's move on with the prayer. The prayer moves from vindication and examination to redemption. Look at verse 11. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. That's an interesting statement to me. I lead a blameless life, Lord. Redeem me and be merciful to me. This part of the prayer asks the Lord to keep us away from wickedness and the people who practice wicked things, wickedness. Verse 9 and 10, look at those two verses. Do not take away my soul along with sinners. God, protect me somehow from falling in with them, because I don't want my soul to be taken away with the sinners. Or my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. God, protect me. Do not take away my soul with those who do these things. It is a part of this prayer that is asking the Lord to keep him. And we pray that same prayer or a similar prayer. We're asking God to keep us away from wickedness and the people who practice wickedness. And I don't have to tell you that many times and many a person has been influenced by the pleasures of sin and by the behavior of sinful people, and have found themselves in a backslidden condition far away from the will of God. How sad, but how common. And so to prevent that, periodically we must ask God to deliver us and redeem us in regard to this danger. What is being said in verse 11? God, so far as I know, I believe David's saying, as far as I know, I lead a blameless life, but God, redeem me and be merciful to me if I am in any way participating in a part of that, because I abhor it. I cringe at the thought of being a part of that. I do not consort with hypocrites. I love your house and where your glory is made known. I do not want my soul to be taken away with all of these sinners and the things that they do. Bloodthirsty men, wicked schemes and bribes fill their lives. And so, be merciful to me, redeem me, have mercy on me. And we have to make sure that our feet stand on level ground among the great assembly praising the Lord. Verse 12. My feet stand on level ground in the great assembly. I will praise the Lord. So, are your feet standing on level ground? We're standing on level ground. It helps with our endurance. It makes it very difficult for anyone to knock us over, to overcome us, if we're standing on level ground. If we're not standing on level ground, if we're standing on shaky ground, it's easy to be interfered with and brushed aside and caused to stumble and fall. There are several things that are said in these verses 9 through 12, 9 and 10 primarily. Several things that are said there that I really want to call attention to. I hesitate doing so. This psalm is so politically charged that it's very, very difficult to stay out of the arena of politics here, especially in the day in which we live. He is saying, verse 9, do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men. And when I think of that, I think of the abortionists and all of the bloodletting along that line. In David's day, bloodthirsty meant people going around with swords and spears and cutting off heads and taking lives with the edge of the sword and the spear. We don't have so much of that in our country today. But what about in the area and the arena of abortion? We have so much of a mindset of bloodthirsty men. I'll not go any further with that. Also, wicked schemes, the next line, in whose hands are wicked schemes. You know, the world of politics, I don't have to tell you or remind you, seems to be and becoming more and more a field of wicked schemes. We gonna give every person $1,400, but let us include all this other stuff that's going along with it. If that's not a wicked scheme, I don't know what is. And again and again and again, we see so many things. If you will just go along, well, the next statement says, whose right hands are full of bribes. If you will go along with what I am promoting in my agenda, things will go well with you. But if you don't, look out, because we're coming after you. Hands full of bribes, wicked schemes. How very relevant this is to us today. David's dealing with his son Absalom totally taking over his country and changing it completely from what it had been to what Absalom wanted it to be. And I'm trying to be nice in this. And David's pouring out, and in the process, David and his followers are being slandered as being evil and wicked, narrow-minded, phobics, wicked men, where really the opposite was true. And the king is crying out to God for vindication, to make sure, God, that I'm right. Examine me. And give me redemption and redeem us. Oh God, help us. So where does this find... I'll let you make final application of this. I've probably gone farther than I maybe should have. But it's where my heart is this morning and in these days. And... Where does the prayer find you? Where does this prayer find us? Are you on the right path? Are we on the right path? So far as you know, are you living a blameless life? Can you ask the Lord to test you, try you, and examine your heart and mind? Or are you afraid of what the Lord will find in doing so? We must be willing to take that chance, if you will, to face that truth. Whatever the case, this is a timely prayer for our day. It is important to remember that, as was the case of King David, the same continues to be true for us today. The opposition may be successful, but ultimately they will be defeated. It has always been the case. We can read the history of mankind from cover to cover, and we see how that is true. And we can see the promises that God's word holds for us in the future as well. There are two other psalms that I want to read in closing. One is Psalm 1. You don't have to turn there. Probably familiar to you. Just Listen to what it says. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and how his law and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree, and listen to this. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff with the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish indeed in the end. And then there are two verses in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A wonderful prayer as well for us to pray today. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and as we have seen in this prayer of a godly man, we can relate, and it is a prayer that is very fitting for us to pray. God, help us, redeem us, be merciful to us in the situation in which we find ourselves today. And Heavenly Father, truly keep us in your way. Keep our minds and our hearts in love with you, in the place where your glory dwells. Vindicate us, Heavenly Father, from the accusations and the slanders that come our way as your people. It's nothing new. Encourage us by that fact. And especially, God, we thank you that in the end you've already won the victory. Guide us, strengthen us, cause our commitments to be deep and real in following you and your ways. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand and we sing a closing prayer, an invitation hymn. I was sitting here just before we started and I was hearing Nell and John go over the hymns, and they went over the invitation hymn, and I said, what a coincidence. The very words at the end of the message this morning are exactly the words that you will sing in this invitation hymn. It wasn't pre-planned. It wasn't pre-planned, but praise the Lord for it being so. So as you sing this, cause it to be your prayer for your life. John, what's that number?
657.
657. Listen to what you sing and make that your prayer as we go this morning.
See you. the encouragement that brings to me personally, and when it does something like this, things come together totally unplanned, as an affirmation of being on the right track. As we dismiss this morning, regardless of what we see going on around us, regardless of what we might experience around us, let the words of that song, the scriptures of songs that we've seen today, be a part of our life. How we're grateful for this.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and for your Son, for bringing us this way back to you, God, and for the Holy Spirit to guide us through your word and to instruct us, Father. Please be with us, bless us, and may your Holy Spirit remind us of your words and of your comfort as we go throughout our daily lives. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.